Good morning, everyone. Last time I was here, I shared with you some of my important things in my life. I shared with you a bit of myself. I told you where I came from. I told you what I like. I told you about my family. I told you about my daughter, Hannah. So you look cute and precious to me. You look at me now. You look at me now, okay? Don't look at the pictures. You look at me now. I am happy, positive, and wonderful. That's me. Yes, that's very true. If you're describing my status today. When I look back, there were moments when Joyce and I were in distress, disappointment, discouragement, doubt, and for sure, I have pondered the thoughts of where is God when I hurt. I ponder the thoughts all the time, that way back. I married in my mid-20s. It was our 15 years anniversary way back in July this year. So you see, my daughter is kind of like a we'll turn 2.5 years old soon, a few days later. And if you can count, you can imagine for how many years I've been struggling. I've been struggling to have a family of my own. It's been a long, long time. Let me dial back a few years back, like 4 or 5 years ago. It was 4 or 5 years ago, I remember. Joyce finally got a positive in a pregnancy test. To be very honest with you, we have experienced too many false alarms before, okay? Yes, we were overjoyed, but we want to tune it down a little bit, my expectation, just in case if there's something happens, something not good happens. But still, okay, we try to get an appointment with the doctors, and the doctors order some blood tests for us, and almost every other day, Joyce has to go to the lab and do the testing. And the good thing is, the initial result went well. You know, everything is positive. So that time, I kind of like start to believe something good may happen. That was the time. But then one day, tough ones, but Joyce felt something strange and uneasy in her body. She had some spottings for a couple of days. Spotting is not good for pregnant women. I Google it, okay? That's by the way. And around the same time, the nurse phoned. He wanted us to see the doctors right away. So you kind of feel that something's wrong, something not good is happening. And to make the long story short, the blood test result confirmed the unborn is lost. Disappointment, distress, discourage. When everything looks bright and you feel that finally something, all the good things come into places, and bang, that all of a sudden the reality hit hard on you. It seems like the skies are falling. That is that type of moment that I have experienced. And I cry to you. I cry to the Lord. Oh God, is a married couple faithful to each other just simply want to have a family of our own? Is that something too much to ask for? Is that too much to ask for? I cried to him. That time, at that moment, he was very, very silent. Oh God, where are you? I was distressed, discouraged, disappointed. We were disappointed. The story I'm going to share with you today, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus has gone through a similar pathway as mine. To them, it's also a long week, a roller coaster week. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and held to be a king. And then he was crucified, and at the end, disappeared. Well, let us actually go back to revisit the story once again, Luke 24. There were two disciples on their way to the town of Emmaus, in about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were probably traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover. I would think they were in the crowd. They were in the crowds that worship Jesus when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Okay, but now they're returning home Sunday afternoon. The two were walking and talking, and keep in mind that is the same day that Jesus risen from death. So I suspect the conversation will be about the events of Jesus, like the stories of the empty tomb, like the stories about the women and the angels. So while they're talking and discussing together, Jesus draw near and traveling with the two disciples. But the two did not recognize who he is. About a short while, so kind of the stranger, who actually initiated a dialogue. So what are you guys talking about? The two disciples stop and look at him. Surprise. What are we talking about? If you can imagine in Jerusalem, Jesus' execution was about the only thing people will be talking about, we're talking about in Jerusalem at that moment. It has been a full week of controversy. And how can a person not know what's going on? Something strange. And in fact, that's a new twist that morning, that some women come up with the idea that Jesus' body is missing. There were rumors of resurrections. There were rumors, but it's hard to believe. You can imagine the gossip is everywhere, but that stranger asking you, what are you guys talking about? Very strange. But well, the disciple tried to explain, start telling Jesus, the stranger, what's going on. It's concerning the Jesus of Nazareth, which is him, and they are hoping, they hope that he was the one who redeemed Israel. And he was crucified, but now it's the third day since his death. Early that morning, the women they knew claimed that Jesus' body was missing, and they saw the angels talking to them. So, and Peter and John went to check it out. Yes, the tomb was empty, but Jesus was not there. And the angels was not there too. Verse 25, the stories go on. Jesus tried a shocking moment. The stranger broke the silence. He said the last thing they expect. Oh, foolish ones. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus will build them. But Jesus continued, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And so Jesus went on and explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scripture during the travel to Emmaus. And so the traveler draw near to the village and arrive at Emmaus. Jesus gave them impressions that he will go on. But the disciple urged Jesus to stay with them. Jesus agreed, and Jesus went home with them. He took the bread, blessed, and Jesus broke it and gave it to them. And the disciples' eyes were open, and they recognized Jesus at that moment. And then Jesus vanished from the sight. So this is a story. It's a quick story. I just want to give you a quick summary. But this is a story. It looks so familiar. I'm sure most of you have read it before. But let me share with you, there are three observations, three things I would like to share with you that I take out from this passage. Have you ever wondered why the disciple were kept from recognizing Jesus for hours? Why would Jesus want to keep keep his identity anonymous. Doesn't want people to know that he is Jesus. Why? Perhaps it's a teaching moment for him. Perhaps it's a teaching moment for the disciples. Jesus wants to teach them the scripture and not to have them overly excited or overly distracted by the amazing fact that he was alive. And perhaps some suggest that, Jesus' appearance is different. He's unusual, like as described in Mark chapter 16. No, so that's why he show up with an unusual form, and that's why they cannot recognize him. And some interpret that the situation as that the disciple not expecting to see Jesus, and that's why they cannot recognize Jesus. But let's be honest, we don't know for sure why they were kept from recognizing Jesus at that moment. So why the disciples were kept from recognizing Jesus? So why? Is God intended to keep this the way it is? Don't you find this strange? It's very strange. You know the disciple. The scripture described and mentioned their body language. They were sad when they talk to Jesus. They're not well. The message from the women's were brought to the group is to, hey, Jesus is alive. The women told them, Jesus is alive, please go to Galilee. Instead, these two disciples were heading to the village of Emmaus. They have no interest to staying longer in Jerusalem? Why? Do they want to find out the mystery of the missing body? Did they want to hear the official words from the Romans or from the synagogues? No, they don't. Okay, but fine. But do they at least wait till the apostle make the announcement of what they will do next before they go home? No, they would rather go home now. Sunday morning, when they hear the women said, Jesus is alive. To me, it looks to me they're giving up. Early in the week, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and it seems like almost everybody is exciting. Excited about maybe that's the king. That's the Messiah. But at the end of the week, Jesus was arrested. Jesus was condemned. Jesus was crucified, and Jesus was dead. Yes, they hope that Jesus was the one who redeemed Israel. That's what they thought. That's what they hoped for. But now their hope and dreams were as dead as their rabbis. The story that those women brought to the group about the angels, about the resurrections, raised a little questions in their minds but everybody knows, dead people don't come back. Dead people don't come back. Okay, Jesus raised the dead before. Jesus raised the dead before. But the problem is, the person who raised the dead died. Peter and John try to verify the resurrections. So they go to they find the empty tomb. But there's no Jesus. There's no angels. There's no nothing. There's no one. The apostle, you can see, you read through the passage, they were very careful. They never claimed that Jesus was resurrected whatsoever. It was clear that at that time, even the apostle don't believe that Jesus is alive and he's resurrected. I guess everyone is confused at that time. Don't you think this is a perfect, perfect time for Jesus to reveal himself that, hey, I am here. I am alive. I am the Jesus, the Messiah. Do you think this is the perfect time? But no, Jesus did not do it that way. Jesus doesn't want to reveal himself at that moment. When I read through the passage, it's only one thing for sure. It's only one thing for sure I notice. Not being able to see Jesus doesn't mean that he isn't there walking with us. Have you ever questioned why God is not here? Have you ever questioned and doubt God is not here with you, especially when you're in distress, especially when you're in disappointment? Maybe it's not what you think the way it is. Jesus is here. Only you and I just didn't recognize his presence. When things happen contrary to our expectation, just like the two disciples not expecting Jesus to die, those are the times when we attempted to doubt his word, lose faith, and maybe as a result, lose sight of him. But not being able to see him doesn't mean that he isn't there walking with us. Jesus, I want to tell you, Jesus will never leave us alone. That's for sure. Number two, this is a very important point. I want to get your attention. This is good news for everyone. God has an utmost interest in us. There were times when Jesus taught the multitudes and those people walk away astonished, amazed by his mighty deeds and power. And there were times when thousands gather on a certain occasions to hear him talking about his kingdom and be fed both physically and spiritually. However, Jesus would also take time to engage with an individual or a small group of people and attend the needs. The tax collector, Zacchaeus, the Pharisee, Nicodemus, the Samaritans, the women at the wells, and Jesus was personally in interest in these individuals, though they all have different issues. The tax collector, Zacchaeus, needs Jesus' acceptance. The Pharisee, Nicodemus, needs to know who Jesus really is. And in this case, the two disciples, they were wondering. They were confused. They were full of questions. They were filled with unbelief. And Jesus draw near and attend their queries at that moment. While they are talking and walking and discussing things together, Jesus enter into their dialogue and actively listen to their cries of distress, disbelief, confusion. Jesus let them burst out their griefs. But at the same time, Jesus is very honest and true. He has little hesitation in exposing the disciples' inward unbelief of what the scripture revealed about him. And in fact, Jesus is intense. He even called them the foolish ones. He even called them slow of heart to believe. But you know what? Maybe this is exactly what the disciple really needs at that time. They need to bank on their heads and be reminded one more time, once again, the scripture. Jesus pays full attention to their unbelief, doubts, and questions. Jesus is using God's word to arouse the interest, to make them dig deeper into the scripture. And Jesus is using God's word to arouse their interest in knowing him more, who he is. Yes, he is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus wants to address the doubts and then believe and draw them into a deeper faith and deeper trust in him. And he never interests to let doubt questions overtook our heart. Jesus is fully intended to take care of the questions that you have from the bottom of your heart. Jesus is interested in you. The two disciples said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Look, this is fascinating. I want you to get their attention. This is fascinating. We always thought we need a miracle. We always thought we need Jesus to be in front of us to get rid of all this unbelief, doubts, all this stress. But no, their heart burned, not because of the signs and wonders. Their heart burns within them while Jesus talked to them on the road while he opened up the Word of God to him. God has an utmost interest in us, and he knows what we need. Both disciples emerge from doubts with tremendous growth in faith, and their hearts revive. I wonder, what if the disciple did not make an invitation to Jesus, what would happen? Going back to the story again, by the time they draw near to Emmaus, it was getting a bit late. The stranger gave every indication that he was intended to continue on his journey. We didn't know where Jesus was planning to go, but the two revived disciples plead with him, please, to stay at least one night. Jesus readily agreed. Of course they were overjoyed. Of course they were overjoyed. How thrilled they must have been when they finally find someone explaining the Word of God to them. They'll be excited. But my question is, what if? What if the disciple did not make an invitation to Jesus? What would happen? What would happen? What would happen if the disciple not making an invitation to Jesus? What would happen? If that's the case, very likely Jesus would just pass on, and the disciple would have lost the super privilege of discovering that it was their risen Lord who was with them. And on that day, their hunger, their desperation, their burning desire provoked them to invite Jesus entering into their lives. On that day, those disciples had a breakthrough in faith. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took the bread, pulled it apart, and gave them each a piece. And at that moment, their eyes were open. They recognized who he was, Jesus, the Messiah. Then Jesus vanished from their sight. You know, brothers and sisters, the revival could have stopped at the doorstep, at the doorstep of the village of Emmaus. The disciple could still be revived. Yes, they could still be revived by the word of God. But that's more to it, brothers and sisters. The hunger, the burning desire, longing for Jesus, longing for more, could be a gateway to a breakthrough in faith. For all this time, the disciple has been with Jesus, looking at him, but they were not able to recognize he is Jesus. But now, a breakthrough in faith. Their eyes were open. They actually saw Jesus the Messiah face to face. They were blown away. The good news is, the moment you invite Jesus, the moment you extend your invitation to Jesus, Jesus is readily saying yes to you. He's always prepared to reveal more to you as you wish. This is stunning. Then the two disciples came from Jerusalem to Emmaus, cold-hearted, full of distress, disappointed, full of unbelief, and their hearts now burned within them and revived. On that day, the disciples had a breakthrough in faith, and they saw Jesus face to face. The two revived disciples waste no time returning to Jerusalem with sure confidence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was alive on that day. Would you be able to imagine? Would you be able to imagine this? Would be the outcome of the day just a few hours ago. Would you be able to imagine this would be the outcome of the day just a few hours ago? On that day, the disciple had a breakthrough in faith. Would you like to join them? Would you like to join them? Let us all stand together and pray. Brothers and sisters, I would like to give you a moment of silence. I would like to give you a moment of reflections. We're going to say a prayer. Perhaps this is the moment for you to extend an invitation to Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus is readily say yes to you. Brothers and sisters, you have come too far to just settle in at this stage. He's always prepared to attend your needs, reveal more to you. Brothers and sisters, you have come too far to just settle in at this stage. Do you want to see him face to face? On that day, the disciples have a breakthrough in faith. Would you want to join them? Would you want to join them also to make this day be the day of your breakthrough of your faith?